now McGraw-Millhaven.
On the home of the world champion Cardinals.
The Big 550 KTRS.
Every Monday we check in with our buddy Dick Weiss of WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. He is our media critic, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Dick, did you take the bus to work today?
No, I rode in style.
Rode in style. All right.
Took the car.
I got your bicycle.
You have your limo Hummer, your Hummer limo outside waiting for you?
It's an Acura. It doesn't eat a whole lot of gas, but we try to be economical. We like to take the bus when we can.
There you go.
He's going green. He's wearing green.
Right.
The big news over the weekend is are people at the Post-Dispatch truly happy for Rick Hummel and what happened to him over the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Rick. He's a great guy. In fact, when you read a columnist in the Post-Dispatch, most of them are like they sound. Bill McClellan is a real down-to-earth kind of guy.
Curmudgeon?
Yeah, a little bit curmudgeonly. And Rick Hummel is just always stop and chat with you. You got a question about the Cardinals, he will stop in his tracks and give you 5-10 minutes. One of my favorite memories of Rick was a friend, Paul Wagman, and I wanted to go to Chicago to see the Cardinals at Wrigley Field, and Rick arranged to get us nice seats and took us to the Billy Goat Saloon and bought us big thick steaks and regaled us with the stories about the Cardinals that he could not put in print.
The Billy Goat, that's the one under Michigan.
Under the tracks,
yeah. Okay, right, yeah. That's the cheeseburger.
Yes. Right, and he drank us right under the table.
So a little proud as you watched the festivities yesterday and see one of your colleagues
inducted. Yeah, it was great to see. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And that there are many honors that one can get in journalism. Many of them are kind of faux. They're not all that important, or sometimes they just honor you to curry favor. But this one is special. Pulitzer Prize, of course, is special as well, and so we're real proud of him.
I would think that there are less writers in the Baseball Hall of Fame than there are Pulitzer Prize winners.
I don't know how many there are, but I'm sure that's true because there are about 15 given out every year for
right.
Pulitzers. how many went in this year? Denny Matthews and Rick Hummel.
Right. So, and one was a writer and one was a broadcaster.
Right.
So, in actuality, it's probably harder to become a Hall of Fame sports writer.
Yes. It is hard to be a Hall of Fame sports writer. The schedules that they keep following baseball teams around is murderous on marriages and on relationships. And there's a great piece that Joe Holloman did on Rick that really brought that out, how much you're away from home and how it's really hard to be a family man.
In that article, didn't Rick Hummel apologize to his kids?
Yeah, he did. It was so and his kids were very forgiving.
Yeah, one's
forgiving,
a doctor,
you know?
One's a lawyer,
yeah,
one's a captain of industry.
They seemed to have turned out all right. He said he was a bad father, Rick did, in a self-deprecating way, so it's probably a good thing he did stay away from him because they turned out really well.
That's funny.
With all this story about Mike Shannon, when is Mike Shannon going to get into the Hall of Fame?
I very deserving. I think, actually, if you think about sports reporting in this town, yes, we have some great sports writers, but the pantheon of broadcasters in St. Louis is even better, and Mike Shannon's very deserving of that. And he's sort of took on the mantle of, in a way, a Joe Garagiola,
right.
A guy who played the game and was not mangles the syntax from time to time. I remember one time he said the electricity is so thick you can cut it with a butter knife.
But I mean, the man is the voice of the Cardinals. I mean, you
absolutely
hear Mike Shannon's voice, and you think spring training is right around the corner. He's been doing it for 35 years now. And you look at the broadcasters that have come through St. Louis. We were talking about this on Friday. Dizzy Dean, Garagiola, Jack Buck, Harry Carey, Bob Costas, Joe Buck. I mean, really, that's
yes,
some serious heavyweights to come walking through there.
Probably the best collection of broadcasters in the nation.
Right.
And there are some great ones around the nation. Vince Scully is a favorite of mine. But
right.
In terms of a collection, none better.
None better.
Yeah. St. Louis.
Yeah. All right. What is the story about Hillary's cleavage? And is this is what it has come to with a four-year presidential run?
Yes. It's another important, vital campaign issue that has surfaced, this time in the Washington Post.
Washington Post, no doubt.
Yes. The fashion writer, Robin Giffhan, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, Pulitzer Prize-winning fashion columnist, by the way, for her commentary. And she often writes about the clothing that people in the news wear, everything from what they show up, you know, what Johnny Cochran wears in court to Dick Cheney showing up in a fur parka at a funeral. And so she wrote about Hillary showing up in an outfit that showed just a tiny bit of her cleavage, not provocative in any way, but it was something different than she had worn before on the Senate floor.
So,
and Robin said that it was a little bit of a provocation. And really, my point of view is that's fair game. She's a columnist. They make comments. I think where it got really ramped up was that Hillary's handlers, ever watchful for an opportunity, went off on it and said how grossly unfair it was and inappropriate. And they sent that out in a campaign fundraising letter.
Right.
So they're trying to raise funds off of this, off of her cleavage. So I don't think it would have been as big an issue if Hillary Clinton had not made it so.
Well, and it wasn't like it was Robert Novak writing about Hillary's cleavage. It was a fashion writer writing about the fashion she was wearing.
Yes.
And so that's a legitimate topic for a fashion writer?
I think so. A lot of people. But the Washington Post got a lot of letters to the editor and comments saying that, you know, that you shouldn't be fixating on what women are wearing, particularly women in politics.
Right.
And, you know, we fixated on Mr. Edwards in his hair.
Right. We also fixated on Matt Blunt's wife at the inauguration here in Jefferson City. Remember what she was wearing?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The big hat.
Yeah, that was, wasn't that Deborah Peterson's category?
I might have been Deb Peterson's category.
She gets in trouble for calling him the baby gov. So.
But still, it was. Now, what I don't understand is, and I want to save time for this Chris Carpenter story because that involves KTRS as well. But I want to get to the actual, that almost actually was real news last week in this presidential campaign between Hillary and Barack Obama during the YouTube debate. He said he would meet with any foreign leader, and she said, "I'm certainly not going to do that because you might be used for." Propaganda reasons and so on and so forth. So it was a big spat. It seems to me like it's an awful nuanced position, and it's not that big of an issue. And yesterday in the Sunday shows, they made it seem like it was World War III.
Well, and they really didn't get to the substance of it. Basically, they just talked about whether it was going to work with who was going to get the advantage.
Right.
You know, Hillary wants to sound experienced. Barack Obama wants to be the agent of change, and so that they're positioning themselves, and it was all about whether it would work or not. Well, I would like some discussion about whether it's appropriate or not to step out and meet with world leaders and or what you should do. I think in the end, when if Hillary Clinton is president or if Barack Obama was president, they're both going to do a little bit more diplomatically than George Bush has.
Right.
And they probably will do the preparation. I suspect that Hillary Clinton will, if it served the U.S. interest to meet with Hugo Chavez, which it probably doesn't at this point, but if it did, she would meet with that guy without too many preconditions, and Obama would do the same. So.
Speaking of the agent of change, didn't Ronald Reagan go to Washington because he was going to change Washington, D.C.?
Absolutely.
And didn't Bill Clinton going to change?
Yes. You always want to be identified as the change agent.
Yeah.
And as the one that will keep us safe.
And President Bush went to Washington to change the culture of Washington.
Right. No corruption.
Yeah. And it's nice to see that nothing has changed in the last 25 years.
Right. You know, I'm comfortable with that, aren't you?
Because I am too. But yeah. why did the American people vote for change when you know nothing's going to change?
Well, we're just gullible.
I hear you.
We watch the same shows over and over again.
Let's,
you know?
Yeah, but you can't get too much of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
All right, let's. Chris Carpenter's arm injury. I don't know what's more controversial: him not playing for the rest of the season, or how they announced and came to the conclusion that Chris Carpenter's arm injury was going to be happened. This is quite fascinating. Might be a little inside baseball, but seems like a lot of people are upset with KTRS because George Paletta, the doctor for the Cardinals, appeared on this very station and took questions and was not available to other media outlets.
Right. And I think therein lay the problem. Bernie Miklas wrote a column, which I reread this morning, which I thought was very fair. He raised questions about the treatment of various Cardinal players and said it seemed strange that they would have an injury that was seemingly more minor than it later turned out to be, and these players would be put back in action and they would get hurt again.
Right.
And he said, basically, what's going on? And the Post-Dispatch did not have access to all the information or the medical authorities that they might have. KTRS did. And so questions were raised. The interesting thing was how quickly the Cardinals snapped back and went on a kind of a PR offensive, defending Dr. Paletta,
right,
who we have no reason to believe that he's anything but a fine doctor. But the information came out in dribs and drabs, and that did not serve the Cardinals well or Dr. Paletta particularly well.
Let me ask you this question, because I know there's always a one-upsmanship in terms of the get. And so KTRS got George Paletta. And either the other ones didn't get him, or he was unavailable, or he only had time for one. And so the other media outlets didn't get him.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this is the tit for tat? KTRS got him, we didn't. Well, obviously they're part owned by the Cardinals, so therefore it was a soft interview. How much of that really was controversial, and how much of it was it petty jealousy among entities?
I'm sure there was plenty of petty jealousy. The only thing is it shouldn't leak out into the stories themselves. I thought the stories were written in a, from my point of view anyway, a professional way, that they were for the most part to use a medical term, clinical. There wasn't a lot of exclamation points,
right,
in them, and cheap shots taken or anything like that. It just raised a lot of questions, which the Cardinals finally did answer, and there was a lot more understanding as a result. Now, it's a little sensitive because the medical records there are a lot of privacy issues around medical records, and some of the players may or may not want information disclosed. So that's it's a tender topic. I think Dr. Paletta at one point actually was kind of had other personal matters to take care of,
right,
and maybe didn't have the time. Now, whether he could use that as an excuse, but in his case, he doesn't that I know of have a reputation for ducking the press.
But and to stick up for our own guys, I read at least three times that George Paletta only made himself available to the station that is part owned by the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah, they were at pains to point that out.
Right. Which they were clearly making a point that inferring that, why is he only speaking to the quote unquote friendly media?
Let
me say this. John Hadley brings up a valid point. Our sports guy, who had George Paletta on the show, saying, if we don't interview him, we're criticized for not getting out the information.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we do interview him, then we are criticized for placating the Cardinals.
Absolutely. If you're a journalist at KTRS, you should aggressively seek out that story. And if you're lucky enough to get it exclusively, bully for you. So I don't think the Post-Dispatch in some ways is taking a shot at KTRS as much as pointing out that, well, of course the Cardinals are going to play ball with KTRS and leave us poor, 350,000 circulation newspaper in the dust. Of course they'd do that.
That makes for an interesting...
By the way, the column before the Paletta column, Bernie's column, was that nobody should feel sorry for Walt Jocketty. Do you remember that one?
Because
there was the national press was saying poor Walt
Jocketty
negotiating a contract, or his contract is coming up, and then there's this young Turk waiting in the wings to take over, and Walt Jocketty has done so much for the Cardinals that what are they thinking?
Right.
And Bernie says, don't feel sorry for Walt. He's all right.
And then 2 days later, why are they covering it all up?
Right.
Can't win for losing. All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, some people, in days of yore, they would buy a swing set for their kids, and it would be a teeter-totter, and a little swing and maybe a slide that you could burn your butt on. And nowadays they've gotten really fancy. And there's a story in the Philadelphia Inquirer called "Giant Playsets Can Be Seen from Space. They are so large." And there's one, a picture of a 43-foot by 21-foot play system. And so the question is, would you pay $6,000 for a play system for your kid? Would you pay $98,000 for a play set for your kid? That is about what it costs to send your kid to an Ivy League school for a year or two. And you might want to go read that on weisright.com. There's a link to the Philadelphia Inquirer page. It's a very entertaining story.
And somebody actually paid $98,000 for a swing set.
To keep their kid away from the TV.
How about that?
You don't even need the college fund because the kid will go on to get a scholarship. Full ride, I'm sure.
All right.
And play on that swing set.
Weisright.com, WEISSWRITE.com. Media critic. He's here with us every Monday. Of course, longtime editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You have, and just in terms of full disclosure, you have no problem being critical of anybody here in town. Whether it's your old employer, us here at KTRS, anybody in town.
No problem. But I will say that the next Hall of Fame candidate, McGraw-Milhaven.
No. It's got to be Mike Shannon. He's got to be. I mean, he's just got to be. I know he's going through some difficult times now, but he's right there with all the rest of them. So, all right, Dick, thanks for coming in.